Hello, how's everybody doing? My name is Dr. Lisa and welcome to my podcast. I am so excited to be here today. I have some wonderful things I want to share with you. We're going to be discussing three key things a woman needs to do when dating. These three things are things that I have prayed about. These are effective strategies that I have done recently, and this will help you to know if this is the man that God chose for you. Now, this is just the beginning step. There's several different things that you need to do, but today we're just going to discuss three key things a woman needs to do when dating. Now, if you are not dating for a husband, but you're just currently like just, you know, going out, you know, just to meet different people, have different conversations with people for, it could be just for business or just for relaxation. These are still three key important things that you need to do. But before we talk about it, I want to encourage you to follow me on my podcast platform. I'm on Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Lisa. Let's go to the throne of grace and prayer. Father God, we thank you for the gift of life. We don't take it for granted. We thank you, Lord, that everything is working out for our good. We thank you, Lord, that we are seeking your kingdom, Lord, for our husband. You know everything that we desire, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for you blessing us with our desires of our heart. We thank you, Lord, that as the days are growing and the year is ending, the days are growing more evil and evil, that, Lord, that we will hear clearly from Holy Spirit, that we will not date the wrong man, Father God, that we will seek your face, Lord, no matter how attractive the person is, Lord, we will ask you, is it a go? Is it a yes or is it a no? And if it's a yes, we're going to be obedient. If it's a no, we're going to be obedient. And we thank you, Lord, for you giving us strategies and breakthroughs and miracles and answering our prayers. And we love you today, Lord. We need you, Father God, for no other help we know. And we pray it in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Y'all come on and put your hands together. Come on. Let's clap and put our hands together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, ladies, everybody is seeking love. Everybody is seeking love. Key number one, when you meet someone and you decide to exchange numbers, one, you could either give him your real cell phone number or two, create a Google number and give him your Google number. The Google number, what's the good thing about a Google number is that it's free, all right? Next, when they call you, they have to announce their voice in order for you, not their voice, but their name, in order for you to be able to accept, you know, their call. So that allows you to decide whether or not you want to be bothered or not. You know, you could be in the middle of running errands or getting your hair done or your nails, or you're just spending some quiet time with God or some alone time. And at this moment, you don't really feel like talking. So a Google number is great. Now, let me encourage you, don't be pressured to answer. See, the Google number gives you control. Some of you may have already had Google numbers before and really didn't think about it as a key component to use when you're dating. I love Google numbers. Currently, I just have one, but I also, it's also good for, you know, business also. Remember, you can control the call. There's times that I've recently given out my Google number and I didn't feel like talking, especially if the person called me at 12 midnight. That's a no-no, ladies, because we know what that's about. That person is trying to call to see if I'm with somebody else or can they come on in and slide in my bed? And that definitely is a no-no. So, like I said, a Google number is awesome. I would encourage you to get one. Just Google how do you download the app on your phone. And remember, let me also tell you this. When you use a Google number, to dial the number of the person. Let's say you want to call, you know, John today, you know, because you missed his call last night. He called you too late. You have to click on the Google app. Mine's is it's a white background with a green phone symbol. So I have to click on that. That number also allows you to text the person, okay? This is also how you can decipher, you know, your text messages on the Google versus on your main phone line. Do not be afraid. The Google number is not going to get crossed up on your regular number. As long as you dial that person from that app, it's going to create another number at the bottom. Like, and it'll be like a long distance number. Don't worry about it. Just click it and it's going to tell you calling whatever number now. You know, calling Thomas, calling Bob, calling Mike now. Also, it allows you to send text messages from it. So this is great because you can keep it separate from your main landline. All right, let's move on to key number two. This is a biggie. Do not give out your address. Do not bring the guy to your home. Your home is precious. Where you live, it's like everybody is not allowed to know where you live. I definitely do that. I do not let men know where I live. I don't care if we're seeing each other for 6 or 8 weeks. You're not coming to my home. Do not give out the area where you live. Do not give out, you know, a street for, you know, let's say you might just say, you know, I live near, you know, Gold Street. He might say, what side of town you live on? Well, you know, I live over there near Gold Street. You know, don't give that out. You hold the control. Now, the last person I was dating, he never came to my home, which was a good thing. This is also another way that you can decipher, and the Holy Spirit will let you know if this man is your husband or not. Now, this particular person, he was, you know, he didn't pressure me, you know, but I did know where he lived and I did go visit his home several times. So that's a good thing. Go visit their house. If you're not, you know, secure about doing that, then just meet them in an open place. But it's good to know where they live, if they really live there or not, or is it a part-time, you know, bachelor pad? You know, you got some married people out here that they buy condos, they lease apartments, or they may even rent a house, believe it or not, or they may have even purchased a condo or purchased a house. You cannot, you know, underestimate those Jezebel and Ahab spirits. That's what they do. Ahab does not commit. They're cunning. They're whoredom, lustful spirits. They operate in sexual immorality. So you want to be careful in letting, you know, a man know where you live. Do not feel pressured. But like I said, if you want to go to his home, go to his home. Don't spend the night. Don't, you know, get comfortable. Don't go over there late at night. Go over there at a decent hour in the daytime. Definitely before, you know, gets dark. All right. Another benefit of not letting a person know where you live and also not giving out your phone number. It gives you like the edge on being like on top. What do I mean by that? Your emotions don't really play into, like, let's say that he like gets on your nerves or you want to like cut him off. Now you feel like everything was in your court. You're winning because one, he doesn't have your real phone number. Even if you did give him your real phone number, that's okay because you could always block his number or just ignore his calls if you're strong enough. But the main thing is, guess what? He don't know where you live. He can't pop up. He can't knock on your door. He can't be like, you know, she didn't take my call. Let's say you just decided that you didn't want to see him, but you know where he lives. Okay. Always, you know, think of these key components as, you know, it's going to keep you in alignment, believe it or not, with the word of God. Because if he doesn't know where you live, then you cannot be tempted to allow him to sit on your sofa, or, you know, come in your bedroom, to tap into having premarital sex, fornicating. it also keeps your mind clear, you know, because you're like, you don't know where I live, you know, and the ball is always in your corner. All right, key factor number three. You do not want to kiss him at all. We're going to have a bonus after key number three. Don't kiss. Now, I will hold your hand, but I will not kiss you. You're not going to know where I live. You're not going to, it depends. I might give out my number. I might not. Most times I don't. But you're not going to know where I live, and I'm not kissing you. Why is that? It's dangerous. When you let somebody kiss you, it leads to an emotional disaster. It will lead you to, believe it or not, walking into what God calls premarital sex, fornication, and you don't want to do it. It's dangerous, women of God. You don't want to be kissing no man. Plus, you don't even know, did he brush his teeth today? Did he floss? You know, is his teeth raggedy? Do he have 55 cavities? Come on, let's keep it real. You know, there are some men out here with some jacked up teeth. You know what I'm saying? And they, you know, don't understand that your mouth can take you out. Your mouth can be the death of you. If you don't believe me, call any dentist or any dental association. He might not floss every day. He might not even brush his teeth at night before he go to bed or in the morning. Trust me, there are some men out here that do that. And so you don't want to be kissing. Now, recently, I was out on a date and, you know, we held hands. And I warned him. I said, look, we are not kissing. And he looked at me. I said, we're not doing that. We're not kissing. And he said, what if I want to give you a hug and kiss you? I said, we're not, you know, I might hug you, but if you kiss me, it's over with. And I meant it. So you got to stand your ground. Because if you want a man of God, when you do these boundaries, what I'm telling you, it will show you whether or not he is a man of God. Now, will it show you specifically if that's your husband? You'll have to go deeper in prayer. He could be, or he could just be a good practice for you. He got my seal. Yes, Lord. He could be a good practice for when you meet, you know, the next one, the real deal. This one has the qualities just like or similar or maybe close or just like the man that God has chose for you, but he might not be the one. But you still want to, you know, have the ball in your court. So you don't want to be kissing. All right, so God warns us that idolatry is dangerous. God warns us against idolatry. Not just because he's God with a jealous heart, but because no one, nothing can fulfill us the way he can. And he desires what's best for us. God's jealousy is righteous because he understands that anything we worship outside of him will lead to our destruction. Now, why did I just say that? And you can also go to 1 John, not John, but it's still in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Why am I saying this about idolatry? Idolatry is when you worship anything or any spirit, any person. It's almost like a noun, person, place, or thing, other than God. So if you kiss this person, what happens when we kiss, ladies? Our heart flutters, beep, 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 beep. Oh my goodness. Our panties might even get wet. Come on, let's keep it real. And all of a sudden, when your heart starts fluttering, you might be like, oh my God, this is the one. But no, it's not. He's not necessarily the one. Lord, forgive me for using your name in vain. But, you know, you want to just be mindful of kissing because it's dangerous. Not only health reasons, but you want to be mindful because it will lead you to possibly always thinking about this person, focusing on this person instead of focusing on God. That is, idolatry comes in different forms. Many people don't have a clear understanding. Idolatry can come in the form of, you know, you always thinking about this person to the point to where you don't even read your Bible. You think about this person so much because you enjoyed that kiss. You're imagining things. That's 1 Corinthians, I want to say chapter 10, casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Let's go there so I can read that to you. You know, you have to be careful. Kissing, believe it or not, is a part of us having sex. And so we don't want to be kissing men. If you're not married to them, you know, we're not doing that. And if you are currently dating somebody, go ahead and let's just redo this and let him know, you know, you're not going to be kissing. And he's going to say, what's wrong with you? Say nothing. What's wrong with you? Yes, Lord. We're not going to be kissing because we're going to get it right. We want to get it right. We want to get it right. We want to get it right. Kissing is a part, like I said, of being sexual. So if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says casting down imaginations. So when you kiss somebody, you know, your mind can go there and you can imagine things and you want to cast those imaginations down. Now, can you imagine without kissing? You can, but kissing definitely is dangerous because it will lead your emotions, which is your soulish realm, into a dimension that you don't want to go to. You don't want to tap into. It says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if you're having thoughts that's going against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit. What is God wanting for your life concerning marriage? What did he say, you know, concerning marriage? And kissing is a part of being married. You know, you're not supposed to be kissing. Now, I've done it. I can't even count. I've done it so many times. You know, when I was a player out here in the streets, you know, I've kissed and I've kissed and I've kissed. And then at the end, you know, my emotions are tied. So if you don't kiss, ladies, it will help you with your emotions. Okay. So we got cell phone, we got address, and we got kissing, right? Now let's talk about the bonus. The bonus here is do not have sex. That's the bonus. You don't want to have sex. So that's why you don't want to kiss. Because kissing will lead to everybody getting hot and bothered. Your panties all wet, you know, and you like, oh my goodness, you thinking you in love because you ain't, you know, been out on no date in a long time or just had, you know, the touch of a man. So we don't want to be having sex. Why? Because sex leads to the spirit of fornication. Sex leads to the spirit of masturbation. Oh, I can't hear nobody. Sex will lead you to the road of destruction. Sex will lead you to intertwining your spirit with that person that God did not call you to be, to be married to. Sex has become easier and easier to get. But to find true love, ladies, that's what's hard. It is hard to find true love. You can always find sex. But to find true godly love, that's what the people of God are seeking. Sex has become more accessible, but people still aren't experiencing true intimacy. They're not getting true intimacy. Why? Because they're going ahead of God. And you're stepping into danger zones. I am telling you that I don't do it. I'm not kissing you. And I'm definitely not having sex with you. If you are seeing somebody, let's say you just met somebody last week, or you might meet somebody before this year is out, and you set your boundaries. That's what I did. I told him straight up about, now I didn't tell him he couldn't come to my house, but I told him about we're not kissing and we're not having sex. And when I said that part, about this, you know, kissing, he said, wow, why? And I explained why, because it's dangerous. And I said what it would lead to. And I said, we're not having sex. And he said, oh my goodness, I love sex. And I said, you think you're the only one? Everybody loves sex, honey. You're not the only one, but sex was created for marriage. And you see, the more I spend time with God and the more that God reveals the scripture to me about marriage, I know not to do it. So that's why I'm telling you, don't kiss. Don't let them know where you live, because you will have the upper hand on getting control of your flesh. You want to kill your flesh every day. You want to read the word of God every day. You want to tell those sexual demons, I will not have sex before marriage. And if you've been doing it, some of y'all have been doing it, right? And you're not married. Go ahead and repent. Father God, I repent for having sex before I'm married. Some of y'all are living with some men. You know what you got to do, right? You're going to have to either you move or he move. Somebody got to move. Or both of y'all move and just get separate new places or go stay with family. But you cannot think God gonna bless some mess. And that's where the people of God get it wrong. Stick to these key components when you are dating. You don't want to be having sex. It is dangerous when you are single, okay? Our cell phones talk about sex all day long. We hear about sex and music. It's on every ad on TV. It's in these TV shows. Society has become what we call sex crazed, to say the least. And guess what? Be careful of what your children are watching. They're even watching shows that have sex on them. People coming out of the closet. NFL, NBA games. They have what? What they have? Have naked people on there. Doing the NBA commercial breaks. Does sex sell? Yes, it does. Sadly, but it does. Sex outside of marriage does more than sell financially. It aims to rob us of our identity. Oh, I can't hear nobody. If you do this thing called fornication, this sexual sin, if you do it, it could lead you to, it will lead you to idolatry. Because any man that's a true man of God, he's going to stand the test with you. You don't want to be masturbating either. Masturbation is a demon. Idolatry is a demon. Fornication, it's a demon. You don't want to be doing it because sex outside of marriage can rob you of your identity. What do I mean by that? You won't even know who you are. Your name will be Tony, 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 Tony. You now, not only that, but your identity now will become the language of hell, the kingdom of perversion. Perversion is evil. You'll be so intertwined with this person. That's how ungodly soul ties are created. And so you'll keep going on and on and on and on and on, and it's dangerous. And guess what? Sex will rob you of your true identity. What is your identity when you belong to God? Let me tell you, write this down, y'all. Write it down. Your identity is you are the righteousness of God. That is your identity when you belong to God. When you step out here and you start kissing and having sex, guess what? Now your identity is sexual perversion, Jezebel spirit. Oh, I can't hear nobody. Ahab spirit. Ahab is a spirit that does not commit. He also has the murder spirit in him. Jezebel and Ahab are both whoredom spirits. They fornicate. They also do idol worship with crystals and sage. You know, they do witchcraft, you know. And so you don't want to get intertwined, because if you have sex with this person, this man, and God did not tell you that that's your husband, even if God say that is your husband, you know better. You don't have sex until you get married. If you have sex with this person before you get married, and it's true what they say about the people that he slept with the past 10 years or 20 years, those spirits are going to enter into you. That's why God said that sex is for marriage, because that is when two people become the closest. They become one because their bodies are linked together. Like I said, if you are currently having sex with someone, premarital sex, and you're doing fornication and you are not married, repent and don't do it. If you have any sex toys, get rid of them. Sex toys, get rid of them. You are robbing yourself of having a true, godly orgasm. I can't hear nobody with your husband. When you have sex, I'm going to go ahead and just tell you this. When you have sex with your husband, you have sex and you bring God glory. Why is that? Because marriage was ordained by God. It is a covenant with God. It's a covenant. You can't have no covenant with Bobby over here. I don't care how much he paid the bills and I bought you a Porsche or gave you $500 or every Friday he always give you money to go eat with your friends, go get your nails and hair done. That's nothing. That is temptation to keep you lured in sexual perversion. Sexual perversion is a sin. Anybody out here listening to sexual music that entices you to have sex with a person and that person tells you, oh, come on, baby, just one last time. Guess what? That's not a man of God. That is not. If your girlfriend's on the phone, tell your girl, just do it one more time. You said he good. No, you need to cut that person off. That is not of God. People of God, we got to get it right. There are things happening in the earth. The earth is groaning with pain. Why? Because there's so much sin taking place. I met a woman that said she's been single for a long time. And she said she don't know what she's doing wrong. Why hasn't she met her husband? I told her, I don't know what you're doing. If anything wrong. But what is your prayer life like? We got to go into spiritual warfare prayers because you have to remember that the enemy does not want you to get married. But I prophesy over your life that if God has already ordained your husband in the heavenly realms, you will receive your godly husband. You will meet him. He might be over in California right now. He might be down in Atlanta, Georgia. He might be over in Charlotte, North Carolina. He might be over in Russia. He might be in Germany. I don't know where he is, but I prophesy over your life that you will be encouraged. You will look in that mirror and you will say, God, I thank you for my godly husband. You will start walking around the house, lifting up your hands. God, I thank you for the man of God. I thank you, Lord, that he's going to love me openly. I thank you, God, that he's going to love to get my hair done. I thank you, God, that he's going to love and fear you, Lord. You want a husband that's going to fear God. I thank you, Lord, that he won't be a counterfeit, that he's going to be the real man of God. If someone tells you that sex is okay to have because God created it, you look at that person and say, you are the devil. And Satan, get thee behind me. Come on, Messiah. Yes, Lord. You tell that devil to get on behind you. Sex outside of God's context will cause us to compromise who God created us to be in exchange for moments of pleasure. We don't want moments of pleasure, do we, ladies? Kill that flesh. How do you kill your flesh? How do you kill your self-will? You read God's word. You start prophesying God's word over your life. I will be married. I will not fornicate. You go and you read 1 John chapter 5:21. You read Psalms 91, Psalms 23. You go in the book of Peter, Romans. See, everything works out for the good of those that love God. How do you show God you love him? Don't be out here having premarital sex. Don't do it. It's going to work out for your good. Don't let the enemy trick you and tell you lies that it's hard, that ain't nobody looking at you. I got some friends right now. They always say that. No man looking at them. They are. Thank God the wrong ones are. Ain't looking at you. You don't want the wrong ones. Also, sex in marriage is symbolic of us being united with one person without having to deal with shame or compromising, in our walk with Jesus. Let me say that again. Sex in marriage is symbolic of us being united in holy matrimony, okay? With God, with one person, without having to deal with shame or compromising in our walk with Jesus. The real elephant in the room as a whole is that the church don't want to talk about it. Men and women, they struggle with this issue. Leaders in the church, they struggle with the issue. I am a prophet of God, and I definitely have learned. And when you learn, and when you spend time in the Word, you know better. So this last person, I did give him my real number. We did have great conversation. I held his hand. We did not kiss. He does not know where I live to this day. We did not have sex. He told me that he was going to pray about it because he wanted to do it right. Why did he tell me that? Because he is in search of a godly woman. Be careful that you don't meet someone that says they're of God, but they're really not. They're the counterfeit. There's a lot of counterfeit Jezebel spirits. Jezebel goes for men and women. Just because they go to church, just because they tell you they fast and they pray, does not mean they're of God. Do you understand me? I had this person stand me up for dinner. We were supposed to go to dinner. He stood me up. A true man of God would not have done that. He would not have not answered my phone calls. And I decided that I know my worth. So I don't know who this is for, but you got to know your worth. You do not deserve to be mistreated. I can't hear nobody. You are beautiful. Your skin is beautiful. You are beautiful. You are gorgeous. And I know my worth. Me and this person, we were working out at the gym. We were doing great. I mean, we even fasted. We fasted a couple of times. We prayed and broke some yokes. I prophesied into his life and things happened for him. I am not God. God is showing him who he is. You see, the Lord says that he reigned on the just and the unjust. Yes, Lord. To show him, because his thing was he wanted a godly wife. But see, you got some people out here that they want godly, but they ain't godly. You can't stand the woman of God up. Are you crazy? If you have a man right now in your life and he stood you up, cut that joker off. You can take yourself out. You can get your own hair done. Whatever it is, he stood you up, cut him off. Go ahead and cut him off. I cut him off. He was screaming. Oh my goodness, why you da, 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 da. Then he tried to reverse it. That's the thing. His pride got in the way. Plus, he was listening to relatives talk to him who are lonely. So let me say this before I go. Be careful that you do not share with the wrong people who are lonely about your newfound relationship or what you're seeking. You have to remember that everybody that hollers, Lord, Lord, is not of God. There are witches and warlocks out here praying against you, praying that you don't get married, praying that you don't meet a godly man, praying that you don't be successful, praying that you stay lonely, praying that you don't have kids, praying that you won't have a godly household. Be careful of that. I will encourage you because lonely people give lonely advice. But single people who know the word of God, there's a difference. Single people who know the word of God, who study the word of God, who they too might be seeking, you know, a relationship, but they're not negative. See, lonely people are negative. Why? Because they don't know God and they hateful and they bitter. Yeah, yes, Lord. They hateful and they bitter and they angry. And they don't want your marriage, if you are currently married, to be successful. Now, I know I just kind of got off key here. But if you're single, they don't want you to have a successful marriage. But by the grace of God and by the power of the Almighty God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, you will have a godly marriage. My name is Dr. Lisa, and I thank you for your time. Y'all go ahead and share this, download it. Follow me on YouTube. It's ASKDR Lisa. Follow me on, subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can also follow me on Facebook. It's Lisa Graham. Follow me on Instagram. I am DR Lisa. Lisa, the links will be also here in the bio. It'll be here where you can click on each one. And I look forward to the testimonies. Some of the ladies that I prophesied over last year about getting married have already gotten married, and some of them will still meet their husband. Some of them haven't met him yet. Some of them have, and they're planning. Some of them have not. But remember, trust God. Don't give up. It is the fourth quarter, and the fourth quarter, God is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. God bless you, and I'm so excited for you, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Take care. Have a beautiful, wonderful, blessed day. Love you. Bye-bye.